Hey everybody, how's it going? You're listening to Reptiles with Yoshi.
This is Constantino with @constantly_tino on Instagram and Imperial Reptiles.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Take me a second to get there.
And this is, I'm fucking up.
Who the fuck am I, dude?
Okay, this is Chuggy from Mad Bio Reptiles.
Alrighty, if you're listening and want to watch, we're on YouTube as Modern Reptile. And if you're watching and want to listen, we're on every single streaming platform that matters. How are you guys doing today?
Not bad, not bad.
Chilling like a villain.
Hell yeah. We're a little hot today because we just, we spent the weekend between CrocFest, between Repticon, between creating content here. So we're chatterboxes today.
Yeah.
Hell
we
yeah.
We should be.
Well, hopefully. And now this podcast is going to suck.
We start shutting down. I ain't sleepy as hell.
Yeah. But yeah, why you didn't get to go to CrocFest?
So you don't get to talk at all. Sorry.
Yeah, so,
correct. Yeah. I don't have anything.
Tino's out. All right, but you did go to Repticon on Saturday.
Yes, Repticon Orlando.
Was it the first set of hours?
Yeah. I went for the first break.
Okay, cool. And how did that go for you?
Honestly, it was really cool. I think in terms of like other reptile shows that I've been to, at least Repticons, this was one of the better ones. You saw your normal, typical stuff. You saw your leopard geckos, crested. Ball pythons, etc.
Yeah.
But I saw a lot more like plants. There was a lot more plants, which is really, really interesting because people are getting more into
here
that
we
bioactive
go.
Stuff.
He's going to isopods very soon.
And isopods. Dude, there were four tables for isopods. It was great, dude. I really liked it. I feel like the hobby is getting towards more things that aren't just focused on the reptiles itself.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird that the reptile hobby is growing in that sense because it's we're going into different
things.
That's
a good thing. Bioactivity, like actually taking care of the animals.
Yeah, I like that. It is really cool. And more people are getting into it. I think it's dope. It's pretty
sweet. Goes to a reptile show. Plays with bugs.
Yeah.
Bro, you cockroach ass.
No, man, there were millipedes, tarantulas, centipedes. Yeah, there were centipedes. It was pretty cool.
You know what? The trend, there's two things that I've noticed, which one of them I think is good, and the other one I'm like, why the fuck is this happening right now? One of them is that there's less ball pythons in shows. People are starting to bring other things, and I think that's good because I think that what happened was that these shows were saturated in ball pythons.
And it became boring at that point. Even for ball python people, because they're like, all right, ball pythons, like, yes, they want to buy, but they also want to look at other shit.
Yeah, exactly. So now, like, you have not so much sellers selling ball pythons more than it is the ball python breeders are coming with their really high-end stuff and stuff for, like, pets, which is awesome, how it should be, right? But the thing that I don't like that's happening is there's so much random merchandise. Like,
what do you
mean? People
I agree.
Pokemon toys, they're bringing stones.
Anime stickers.
The stones has always been a thing, though. Because, so there is actually, there used to be a larger market, but I've heard of this, where the people that believe in stone chemicals and others.
Crystals and energies and shit. Brujeria.
So all that stuff. So they literally put crystals within the enclosures to cause a specific vibe within the enclosure. So that's the reason for those who have been coming in. It just died out for the most part, but they still try and sell.
Weird. Yeah. I would like it if it were more like reptile gear. Like there was one lady who had like this whole like, I don't know, like a little rack full of like beardy pouches.
Okay.
You know, and like, I'm like, you know what? That's cool. That's nice. You made it yourself. You did it. It's for people who own beardies. A lot of people do that. So it's like cool. Or even like customized snake hooks. That'd be sick too. But like it's weird. Like, you got a table of rocks?
Okay.
You got a table of rocks.
I was going to tell you this, Yoshi. I just saw you and you were talking to somebody. But I walk in there, right? Towards the right when you were talking to your friend in that corner. Like two tables down, there was like this gator skull. I wanted to fuck him up. I walk up, I was like, ooh, let's see what it is. It was a 3D printed gator skull. So like that was the only reptile one. Everything else was just random like 3D printed shit.
I know him.
I know him. Bro, what's happening?
That was the one right next to me.
I was like, you got me, motherfucker.
Did you see the taxidermied caracal?
Yes, I saw that.
It was like in the center. It was like the guy who always brings like a bunch of like horns of stuff.
Skulls. He had a gator
wood.
Skull.
Oh, it was him. Okay,
he had a gator skull.
He had a taxidermy caracal, and I was like, you know what? $5, it's mine. I'll take it.
As far as like merchandise goes in the reptile shows, okay, taxidermy, I get it because that's like really like, okay, shirts, hooks, stuff for like to accessorize your bearded dragon. I get it. But I guess I see where you're coming from with the crystals, but that's the thing that always threw me off. That and like the anime stuff. I'm like, dude, there's like conventions for anime.
Yeah, why
are we fucking like? And you know what sucks though is that I buy things sometimes.
Yeah.
Naruto.
Because it's the impulse buy stuff. It's like a dollar or two more. Like whatever. F it.
Yeah.
I think it's also like I don't know. I wish Repticon and reptile shows in general would it's mostly general, and I get that the reptile industry isn't probably large enough to have specifics about certain things to really absolutely be nitpicky about not. It. But I'm like, you know, maybe if they had more regulations, like especially for Daytona, when we went to Daytona, it's the National Breeders Expo, right? I can tell you more than 50% of that was not captive bred animals. You know, so it's like
I saw black racers for sale for $10.
I saw monkey tail skinks, and like no. Like, that's not happening.
I will. Like the black racer, I was low-key pissed. Yeah. I was like, you probably caught this
Amazon tree boas. I was like, no, there's no way you guys are breeding.
I forgot who it was that told me, like, that had like a perspective on the Daytona show where it was like, it's the National Reptile Breeders Expo, right?
Mm.
It's for breeders to showcase their stuff to like people that are breeders and stores sale. You know, like,
and then the stores get in there too though. It's just
just
like you said, it's just not such a large thing. If they gotta fill tables, fuck it.
They're not gonna be like vet. I mean, I'm sure you have to have your setup, sure. Yeah. But they're not gonna be like, oh, I'm not gonna say no to them. Yeah, like they're gonna buy four tables.
It's business at the end of the day. You know, they don't look at, oh, why is he bringing you got the money.
But do you think if a table you vet, then you have a higher you increase the quality of the products that's about there. Like by betting and being like, this is actually just captive bred animals, that would increase the quality of the show.
Yeah, to an extent, but then you would cancel out like who's coming.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're being super biased about it.
Right. Yeah.
Like who is to say that my business is not professional because I'm not running it the way that you want me
to
run
it. You can't do that.
Right.
You know?
Let's go back to the original thing where some guy's just selling taxidermied caracals and 3D printed croc skulls. It's like, well, if nobody's vetting, I can just bring whatever the hell I want.
Technically you fucking can. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. It's like maybe you shouldn't vet like the business model that person has, but more like, are they selling products that actually have to do with what the fuck we're doing? Yeah. Like, dude, they're selling fucking Pikachus and fucking random, like literally shit that you get from like AliExpress, Alibaba, or overseas from Japan that come in and they're like literally just like this little Pikachu thing. All the writing is Japanese. Mm. Like it's shit that's like for anime conventions, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, imagine the opposite, right? So like if you have like the National Breeders Expo and let's say we vet it, it's like it's only captive bred animals.
Yeah.
And then to make it fair, we're like, you know what? Let's do a wild caught Breeders Expo or a wild caught expo. That's never gonna happen. There's already such a stigma against wild caught animals. No, I'd be there too. I'd be like, oh shoot, what do they got, what's there, you know? But it's like, you know, basically, you know, it's such a stigma, they wouldn't succeed.
You know what,
they wouldn't survive.
I have a friend that when he would do the shows down here, he used to sell comic books at his table, but he also had ball pythons at his table.
Not to interrupt you, but like the interesting part is like hot sauce. Have you noticed how many reptile people into hot sauce?
Bro, yes. I took this one candy they had there. They called it the devil's nutsack. I'm gonna tell you right now, fuck them nutsack, bro.
Yeah, I tried it,
I cried like a bitch and I threw up. And then 2 days later, okay, that night I was scared to poop. And I was like, shit. Yo, listen, fuck. I'm about to poop. And I'm like, damn, I don't know if I could push. And I pushed it. I was fine. Next day, I was like, oh, shit, I got to poop again, that, bro.
No,
I pooped. Nothing happened. Third day, it was like getting the nuts and just putting up your ass, bro. Oh, like, man. That shit was hell.
That's the worst. Sometimes those things just creep up on you like
that. Yeah, it was disgusting.
Yeah, no, not a good time.
But at my old job, sometimes there was one guy who was like, he grew his own peppers and stuff and he made his own sauce.
Uh-huh.
And it got to the point where basically he paid for his feeders in hot sauce because we were like, oh, that one's sick, we'll take that one, this one, you know, giving him rodents instead. It was like, so I don't know, I guess niche things like that, especially if you're making them yourself, you know, like, oh, I do the reptiles, but I also make this hot sauce, you know, I do homemade honey. A garage plant swap, which is basically like where people swap plants or they go ahead and just sell plants.
Okay.
And this guy made his own honey too. He kept bees and he was selling the honey too. And it's like, yeah, I think if you're making the product, but if you're like secondhand selling stuff like
rando shit,
Funko Pops and stickers, you know, it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Weird. It's not
Let that be fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Funko Pop. It's a fucking reptile or some shit.
It's just the business part of it. Like,
yeah.
You can try and say that, but it's just business. They're going to take wherever the money comes from at that point.
The thing is that, like, I guess in perspective, like, a lot of, like, people that are into exotics, it's more of a, I guess, like a nerdy kind of, like, hobby. Yep. I mean, it's, you know, and
it's the demographic.
It's the demographic, you know, but also, like, they have anime conventions, my dude.
Yeah.
Just go to them.
They'd make a killing selling like coupon, like tattoo coupons.
Yeah.
Killing off of that.
Yeah. You know, and sorry, this is not reptile related, but I did go to an anime convention in Georgia.
Weeb.
Yeah. it's called MomoCon. Just to put the icing on the cake. And there was a guy that was doing tattoos there.
Fire, yeah, you go.
Just on that, but fire. But his whole like aesthetic was anime.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
100% makes sense at that point.
But I don't know, man. I just it does rub me a weird way.
Mm-hmm. I don't notice it. I literally didn't notice until y'all brought it up. I was like, motherfucker, you're right. Not a shit. What the fuck? But I think honestly, what I would like those shows to go is more aesthetic than it is like just showing up the animals in a box.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like presentation wise.
Yes.
Like,
so when somebody has a good presentation, I walk in there and I was like, "Oh, damn!" Fuck yeah. And I remember
Bob's Balls.
I remember that motherfucker's name every time.
Yeah,
you know,
like. But that's the thing. I mean, people think, "Oh, I'm going to this convention to sell my animals," but you're wrong. You're going to the convention
to market, to network.
To network with your peers, mm-hmm. and then to showcase the personality and the persona of your business.
Yep.
You know?
If you have a fucking sick ass bioactive with a dumbass house gecko in it, I might buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I might buy it. If your shit look crazy, I'm like, ah, damn.
Yeah, no, of course.
Like, it's things like that. Like whenever I see, especially not here much in Florida, there's certain people that do it, but I know in Cali, there's people that go ham.
Yeah.
Like, Cusco, when he started doing, he made like this wallpaper.
Oh, like the bat, the scrim. Yeah, yeah. It's a scrim of his snake room.
And then he has his animals, but he's also sitting over here doing a podcast.
Yeah,
and
I was like, you know, that's something that I want to do. I want to do this podcast whenever I want to do them at shows. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to have my table to showcase my animals, and then the table for the podcast, so we can bring people in 5 minutes. Hey, what's up? What do you have for sale? What's going on? Exactly. You know, I mean, I didn't intentionally think of it like Cusco, but also, I mean, it's literally that.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't actually, not because of anything bad with his channel or anything like that, I don't really watch that often. Yeah. But now thinking about it, I'm like, he does do that.
He's fire.
How do I do that?
I've met him look like it's once biting or him. Twice, but that's a smart mofo
There, no, bro. Good for him. That's fucking
smart
awesome.
Smart mofo. Him and Miguel, always evolving pythons.
Oh, for sure.
Fucking brains.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, outside of ball pythons, outside of reptile shit, fucking brains.
No, good for them, bro.
Like, as people.
Fuck yeah. But was there anything, I mean, you love fucking isopods. Was there anything that you saw that you're like, fuck, like I would get that?
The problem with me is I feel like I'm like desensitized a little bit already to a lot of it.
Yeah,
especially working with exotics all the time.
Okay.
Other than the geckos, like the leaf tails, and like the chihuahuas sometimes that they had, like little things like that. Yeah. I'm like, oh shit,
I noticed is when we were at the Guardians of the Galaxy table and you saw the lychees, you're like, oh shit, lychees.
Yeah. Like there's a couple things that still get my attention. There's a guy there. He had a couple of wild caught shit, but he had a couple of snakes that I can't even tell you what the fuck they are right now.
And
I
was like, fuck?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. I was like, all right, this right here is fire.
So
yeah.
I went with, what's it called? With Eric, who also works at Imperial. He's at Reptiverse. But he was only able to show up for like an hour or so.
Yeah.
And so he was like beelining for looking for jungle carpet. You know, and he was like, just going table, just like. We had one guy. There was one guy who read them, so we were like, "This is the one." But like the way he was going at each table, like just scanning. I was like, "Man, I remember my first Repticon because I didn't like ball pythons at all." So I was like, "Nope, skip." Just and then like leopard geckos and stuff, because I really like the old world larger colubrids. So it was like, I was the entire time I was like, "Zoop, zoop," and I was like, "Oh my gosh, he reminds me of me." So like, I get it when you're like, there's a lot of stuff there that you're not that interested in, but like. It's nice when, like, oh, you see that one, you're like, okay, that's nice. Up. I still get excited about that.
One thing that caught my attention was the dwarfy.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's yes.
That's one thing. So that I was walking and this guy had, let's see, I have his thing. The Articulate Reptile, it's his name. So I was walking and he had this like dome thing, like it's made out of glass and the bottom is wood and then between it was like a branch and then it had a dwarf came in skeleton around it and I could just tell what it was from a fucking mile away and I was like, oh, that's a dwarf, he
that's tight. The one.
And then we kept talking about it, like that caught my attention and he told me like how he cleans them up, how he has to put all the bones back together. I was like, all right, that's fucking fire.
Yeah,
like that guy got me.
I went to Fire Expo, and there was one guy. It was the first time I think he'd ever been to a show, or maybe he'd been to one before, I don't know.
Probably, but
it was
the
first
time
I'd recognize him. He had like, it was like a bunch of taxidermy and stuff, but not taxidermy per se, like preserved, like in jars and stuff. And I'm like, that is genius. A lot of reptile people are sick as fuck like that, and they need shit like that. Cause like when an animal dies, they want to keep it, you know, cause we're mental. We got problems. You know, people want to keep that stuff. It's like, yeah, I want to keep it in a jar of formaldehyde its entire life.
You know what? I've thought about that because when I lost one of my diamondback terrapins, I tried to preserve it. It didn't go well, but like, I don't, like, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I prefer the bone display over the look of the animal. Because the look of the animal, it's just, like, all, like, inflamed and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's not it. Yeah. That's not the one.
There's a couple animals, like gators, that you could pull it off because they don't have any muscles on their face.
So
those you could pull off. Okay. That's why. Yeah.
The guy that I was talking about, it's my mortal enemy, Firehorse Exotics. He's Canadian. So the guy that I was talking with while you saw the gator thing, he has one of a two-headed scaleless corn. Or not, well, a two-headed corn snake that he produced. And he has
scaleless now?
Well, yeah, it's got him. But yeah, so he has one of that, and it looks really cool.
That's dope.
So, and then I've had people hit me up about doing it with like any of my animals that die, but I'm like, I mean, are you gonna just put it in a fucking jar? Because I don't want that. Like, make a bone display, and I'd probably appreciate that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Well, I did. I had a snake pass on me, and what I did, I'm really into plants, obviously. Okay. So I actually bought like a really nice plant.
Bugs and plants.
Yeah.
What a loser.
I bought a really nice plant from Walmart, and I was like, actually two, and I was like, you know, I'm going to put them together, put them in the pot, and I just buried my snake in there. And now it's, you know, I still call my plant Eponine. That was its name that I named it. I still call it Eponine, the plant, because it's like, it's technically still there, you know? It's alive now in the plant because it's using all those nutrients.
It's like so those, now they're making coffins that are biodegradable, so that way when you decompose, you like literally decompose into the earth instead of like
what I've loved, instead of having like cemeteries, of having land just devoted to dead people and rocks, is having groves, you know, like, can you imagine like I don't even know what your last name is. What's your last name? Rivera? Something Hispanic like that.
Racist. Yeah.
something Hispanic like that.
What's your fucking last name? Lopez?
Lopez.
No, like, dude, Perez.
Perez. Oh, even better.
Is it really? Okay, there we go. Insert Hispanic here.
Having a whole like grove of trees for like your family.
Face. I want to see that shit. Because I was like, I looked at my phone quick and I'm like, bitch.
Wait, is it? I have to check actually. It might be one of them.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, like with instead of having just a cemetery like just blank and bare, having like trees grown for people and plants and stuff. And I think that'd be really sick, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people would appreciate
that. There's a problem to that.
What?
This might go south, but a lot of times they take the bodies out after a couple of years and they reuse the whole.
Yeah,
I went to one of my friends.
Yeah.
They took one of my friends out within 2 years.
Yeah, they do that. So they do that. Yep. Mm.
You have to pay. If not, you have to pay for the rest of your life. And if you don't pay, they take it out. Or if you want that person still
there,
I wonder
what they do with those bodies.
You pass it down.
You know what I want?
Garbage, bro. They burn that thing.
When I die, you guys got two options. Either, if I'm healthy, feed me off to the alligators or feed me off to the tortoises.
Okay,
sounds good. Whatever you guys want.
There's enough of you, bro. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right. That's fine. That's
why we're fighting.
Divvy it up. Divvy it up.
But on Repticon, you said that there was one carpet.
There was one guy who had carpets.
Well, I'm going to tell you why you're fucking lying right now. Not that you're lying, but there was one animal that I was like, I'm going to buy it. And it was a full grown Aryan giant carpet.
Yeah, that was the same
guy. It was the same. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he
had the jungles on the side, but he had the giant.
I didn't even see it.
Aryan giant.
Bro, I saw. Well, it wasn't like in a. This is the thing of what we're talking about, the displays. It was just in a bin, but it wasn't like a bin that you can literally clearly see the animal.
Yeah,
it was
like white ones.
Smoky. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I was like, oh, fuck, that's literally what I would like to display outside.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm noticing about my behavior. It's like, if before I used to look for a good deal on a female ball python that was almost ready to breed. Mm. Now I'm looking for I never buy blue tongue skinks from shows just because I just have my source for them.
Sure.
Turtles and tortoises, I'm not there just yet about purchasing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to snakes, it's ball pythons that are like females that are genetically fucking balls deep.
Yeah.
But now it's like animals that I can keep outside. That's all I think about. I'm like, can I keep it outside? I don't want it. You know? So it's like, fuck. Yeah, so now I'm like in the rush to like, there was a, literally right before I moved here, and I was like so frustrated because I was like, ugh. In this area, somebody was selling it's like a walk-through cage with subsection cages where like people would keep like monitors or something like multiple. Yeah. And it was $4,000, but it would have fit 10 animals in a big space. So, you know, obviously I'd have to figure out how to move that from one place to another.
Right.
But I'm like, dude, like if this was just in a couple of months, like I would have figured this shit out. Yeah, it would literally perfect to like put in the backyard, do a couple little things to make sure that it's safe for a reptile to live, and just have animals that you could just walk through and you're like, oh, that'd look, iguana here, big snake there, monitor there, like stuff like that. But yeah, that's what kind of like where my head is at with those things. It's just like things that I could keep outside. That'd and that sick. IJ carpet, I was like, that's
one. See, like you go to a Repticon like this and you're like, oh, I want to see some niche stuff, because at this point, not that the hobby is big, because people are still buying your ball pythons, your leprechauns, because your beardies, you know, but like it's like, I don't know, you're appealing to those people that have been in here for a little bit and are already finding the niche things that they prefer, you know?
That's something I noticed today, too. I haven't been into a Repticon in a while. When I used to go back then, I was doing my YouTube shit, and, like, I knew everybody. This time, it was, like, a whole bunch of new breeders, and, like, once I started looking up, like, everybody, what they're doing, they're all, like, niched down to something. I'm like, what the hell's happening?
Well, I think also with, like, I've always told people, like, when you generalize, you're decreasing the quality of each individual, whereas if you're specializing, you're doing a lot for each one. So, like, if you're a ball python, blue tongue skink, and tortoise turtle breeder, Chelonian breeder, then you're specifying. You're doing, I'm doing this specifically.
To an extent, though, when you're like, but if you have, like, a million of them things, then is the same.
No, right. But I'm saying, like, you're specializing in your care. Not necessarily, like, for the individual animal.
Like, let's say I had balls, blue tongues, and chelonians, right? But I also was like, I'm gonna get sand boas, hog nose, corn snakes, keen snakes, and then my care will start lacking because I'm like, oh, I have to keep track of so many things, and I'm one person. You know, I have no fucking employees and stuff like that. That's kind of what I'm saying.
So when you have tables that are kind of like bug basements doing solely isopods, you have hogs and balls doing solely
hogs and balls.
You know, it's like you can trust a higher quality, a higher caliber of animals. And you don't have to worry about, like, oh, this guy's got his fingers and everything, you know?
Yeah, because you know what? It does look... That's something... on the presentation thing, that's something that I've always noticed is the tables that have a variety of species, it's very incoherent. It's like you can't really, like, catch the vibe from it. It's like,
it's usually Walcott.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, dude, this guy has a little bit of everything, and I'm like, I just can't. I don't know what it's called, but there is a fear of too many options. It'll turn somebody off if they're looking. Somebody rather look at 5 things versus 100 things, because they're like, I'd rather pick from these 5 than have to like waste the energy looking at these 100 items. Or I'm like, I might not even want one of these things. You know. So yeah, I see that with the multiple species. You know, and obviously like. My mortal enemy, Bayard from Firehorse Exotics, he's Canadian.
Yo.
We're just being real racist in
here. You're not allowed to Canada, motherfucker. I'm going to ban your ass.
This is the thing. So, I don't really think that he's... I mean, I got to ask him, but you know what? I'm just going to keep... I know that he... I know that I don't know if he was born in Canada or if he spent a lot of time. Or if he spent a lot of time in Canada. But regardless, I'm just going to keep the whole thing up. Like, he's my mortal enemy. I hate him. But anywho, his displays were great because he had them separated. Like, he had his own system for his ball pythons, his own system for his boas, his own system for his corn, for his colubrids general. And whenever he does, because he also does leopard geckos and carpets, they're in their own thing. But it's... like you feel the vibe, it's coherent. He has a very professional setup, you know, in the sense of like that's how you should set up your convention, you know. And don't get me wrong, it is the generic 3-tier animals, light, nice tablecloth. It is the generic that for his company, but it looks better than the guy that has a whole bunch of deli cups on his table.
I kind of agree. Especially when you're like separating the animals, because there's once I even noticed it with Eric. We were like, oh, look, balls. Actually, oh, wait, that has a, there's a tortoise in that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like, random
fucking tortoise in these balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wouldn't even notice. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's crazy.
But, and then something that we were talking about earlier when you were asking me why I haven't been doing reptiles, other than the lack of inventory, also it was the lack of a display that I was proud of. Mm. Like, the only reason that I did...
Fire.
Exactly. The only reason that I did Daytona was because... It was my first opportunity to do it. Alex offered me the table. You know, it was for me to do what I wanted to do, and it was a chance for me to showcase a ball python that I proved out genetically. Right. It was a chance for me to showcase the Fuego Blue Tongue Skink project that I'm working on. And for that, I was like, you know what? Let me just try my best to have some kind of nice display. But now I'm just like, I need a... After this year that we see where I'm at financially, is like, now I set a budget for what I want my displays to be, what I want to showcase my company, and et cetera.
You know, I was thinking about, like, what you could do, like, with... you're the breeder, so you can go ahead and put, like, your highest caliber of animals that you have for sale.
Yep.
Just put it there. Even if it's not a lot, just show up there. And then on the other side, you have, like, on one table. On the other side, you have your podcast. And you broadcast this. And exactly. You're like, hey, guys... You guys are on Spotify. You guys are on YouTube. You guys want reptile playlists? We're here. We got you.
Yeah.
We're already doing it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, pretty much that. But Repticon, it was my first time seeing it here in Orlando. It was, I mean, we went on Sunday. It was a little empty.
It's smaller than what I'm used to. Like, I used to go to every Orlando one. It's way smaller.
Yeah, I expected bigger because I went to the Tampa one. And I vented the Tampa one. And when I did that, it was big. So I was expecting here, since it's also Central Florida, to be
usually, big. Usually the December show is the smaller one. I'd say the one in January is the bigger one. This is the beginning of the year, everybody's starting. And actually, the people have already been staking their stuff out of hibernation and stuff. They don't have necessarily all their animals for sale yet, but, like, stuff's already coming out.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk Crocfest.
Let's get it.
Crocfest. All right.
Hey, everyone. I'm the owner of Imperial Reptiles and Exotics. We are a reptile specialty store located in Orlando, Florida. We carry a full line of premium reptile supplies as well as quality reptiles. You could also find all of our reptiles and supplies available online at www.imperialreptiles.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another segment of news, reptile news of the week. So last week we spoke about the ichthyosaurs that were found, and I found an interesting story that happened to be about ichthyosaurs that were found. It says the skeleton was more than 32 feet in length with a 6.5 long skull, 6.5 foot long skull that weighs about a ton. If you remember last week, it was one that was about 8 feet, the skull. So let's get into this. The person that discovered it was named Joe Davis, and he was doing routine maintenance at Rutland Water Nature Reserve in England. He says, "We followed what indisputably looked like a spine and paw, discovered something further along that could have been a jawbone." So apparently there was something sticking out of the ground in a muddy area. And when they looked around and they followed it, they noticed that they saw something that looked like a spine. They followed it in, and there it was, an ichthyosaur. They estimate that it was about 102 million years old. They began excavation in August 2021 and completed it in 14.5 days over 3 weeks. This person, Lomax, describes the animal as this: "During this time period, it would have been right at the top of its food chain. It's an ultimate apex predator, perhaps one of the biggest animals in the sea worldwide." They also describe it as one of the greatest finds in British paleontology history. So it's kind of interesting. So last week we spoke about the skull that was found, and this week I found this article that was done on January 12th that speaks about a whole skeleton that was found. And it's kind of funny that you just literally ran into it. This was your news of the week segment. I just wanted to bring you this story that I happened to find. And no, I did not search for ichthyosaur when I found this. So that's kind of interesting that this happened to be what I found. I hope you all have a great day, and let's get back to the guys.
All right, we're back. We're going to talk about Crockfest. Cockfest. Crockfest.
Gatorfest.
Gatorfest.
Yeah. That's what it was for me, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I saw no Crocs.
Yeah. Yeah, when I got there, what you got there, yeah.
Yeah, when I got there, it was already closed down. So, in the Croc area, like the Jungle Crocs was closed, yeah. And then the Orinocos were right by the fence to the left.
Okay.
So I didn't get to see them. But, I mean, I've seen them before. I've held them, so
yeah. Whatever. Yeah, it was cool. I was telling you guys, I was bummed that I didn't even get to touch like any kind of gator. I mean, I get it because like they had the whole like pay to take a picture of the thing.
You trying to die? Like what do you want
to? No, hold? But like a fucking usually a like you, yeah, baby, you think baby. That they would have one out just for people to see where they're like, oh look, I could touch it. Like I didn't process till the end of the day, and I was like, I don't know.
That's so sketch though. If somebody gets bit or something, yeah, no, absolutely not. Especially with a lot of people. Like whenever I have to do like encounters and things like that, I don't allow nobody to touch because there's so many hands. Then like people try to touch the face, and then like if you put tape, it doesn't look good. And like
that's why
they did.
Are you against the taping of the face?
Me, okay. So at my job, they do it.
Okay.
Me personally, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Just because it's taped down to be handled, and then they put them in a tank. And then it's put down and brought back up and put down and brought back up.
Stressful process for the animal.
Yeah, it's just stressful. And like, it's just for the entertainment of people. And I don't care for people, honestly, when it comes to that. So yeah, I do hate the tape. I literally train the crocodilians that I personally work with to be desensitized so that, of course, they still mess me up. They're not tamed. But so that they are less likely to try and bite so that I don't have to put tape when I'm handling them just so to avoid that.
Yeah.
Is it like, okay, you know how some people, please don't cancel me, you know, free handling, right? People are like, oh, I know this snake. He ain't gonna bite me. He's fine, you know, they're doing that stuff. Does the same thing exist with crocodilians? Like, people are like, I know he's not gonna bite. I know he's tame.
To an extent. But the difference is the crocodilians don't play around ever. Like, they're not really tame. You just can't touch it however you want. They're gonna try daily.
Where you can get like a rattlesnake and a cobra to be really calm with you, you can't do that with a croc
or an alligator. Not exactly, not to that extent.
Okay.
Not to like, we do work with a large alligator and we do training. We touch his teeth, ears, eyes, nose, everything. Like, and we could do it on a show, but we can also read the body language. Like, as we're doing shows, I'm talking, the other guy is quiet doing the training, but the whole time he's paying attention to body language, and he can predict what's gonna happen just by watching back legs, his eyes, like just different things like that. Because of that, because every now and then he's gonna jump and try it.
So you can't trust him.
Yeah, you can't fully trust them. And a lot of times it's not them trying to kill you. It's them getting excited, trying to get food. Their eyes are positioned on top of the head and to the sides. They have a blind spot right in front of them. So if they jump forward and try to grab, they're not even looking at what they're trying to grab.
Yeah.
They're just biting at that.
You know, I never thought about that, ever.
Yeah, that's the problem. If they had eyes in front, it would be fugly as hell. But they'll be able to pay more attention at what they're going for and things like that. They usually eat side to side. So when you're training them, they come forward. Their eyes are to the side, blind spot. They're just jumping and hoping there's food right in front.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to Croc Fest. Was it just like you just go to Gatorland and just like hang out like a regular Gatorland day?
This is my first time at Gatorland.
Oh, okay. I'll add to it. I'll add the differences. So go ahead.
Okay. I thought the first thing that happens when you drive in, right? There's a guy telling you left or right, because left is Gatorland.
Yep.
Right is Croc Fest. So I got there and I was confused. I was like, is it not the same thing?
Aren't they the same place?
Yeah. So pretty much what it is you go, you pay, I mean, more than what Gatorland is, but that's okay because it's for conservation. It's not a problem. So you pay the fee for Crockfest, and therefore you have access to Gatorland, and then actual Crockfest started at 3. So you had time between 12 to 3 to walk Gatorland and do all the experiences, right? And then Crockfest starts, and they did like a celebrity, which is the YouTube Jumparoo?
Jumparoo show.
Oh, the Jumparoo show.
The Jumparoo show was Brian Barczyk, Blake, Max, Savvy,
the whole sitch.
Yeah.
And then that you get free food, free water, free beer, soda, etc.
This part.
And then you get to take part in the auctions and stuff like that. And just like, so that's pretty much what it was. So it was like, it's like if it was Gatorland Plus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's nice. I think that's usually how it is. That's usually how Crockfest is. It's at a random zoo. You get to do the zoo, and at the end, you get to hang out with all the YouTubers, all the scientists, mm-hmm. and all these things, and you get to interact with them for the most part. And I don't know if y'all know what exactly the conservation this time is. Every year is a different species, by the way.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, so the one before was at Zoo Tampa. That was for the Gary-O.
Uh-huh.
Favorite one. This one is for the Orinoco crocodile. It is endangered. It is from South America.
Only speaks Spanish.
In this project specifically. So, to my understanding, all the Orinocos in the United States are owned by one man.
Uh-huh.
That man controls where those Orinocos go for the most part. And what this science project is trying to do is send some babies back to South America and be released. Mm. So, that's what our money went to.
Oh, okay. Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
So, that's kind of cool. I always wondered about that, about like how they reintroduce like animals into the wild.
It depends what it is. Crocodilians have to be less than 4 feet. Start with that. And why? They can't, after 4 feet, they pretty much, like, to my understanding how it works, like they've moved alligators up to, what is it, like 30 miles away, and the alligator finds a way back.
Uh-huh.
So they find their homes. They find, like, if you take them away from their home, they just look for it and until they get ran over by a car and things like that. And then at that age as well, if somebody fed them, it won't, like, they're not scared of people. Yeah. They're coming up to
so
you.
So how do they do to feed the captive bred ones that they're planning to release?
So the babies are, so once they hatch, they already know how to eat. They already know how to do everything. Uh-huh. So pretty much no handling. No handling, just throw
minimal
food in there.
Human contact.
Yeah, just throw food in there. Or if it's human contact, do not desensitize. Like, get them. They have to be very defensive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So not that you have to be rough, but almost
pretend
it's a wild gator. Yeah,
one extent. Yeah, you have to be almost like a predator. So whenever you approach from above, that's predatory behavior, and they're going to try and get away. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Put your hand over. I mean, not... I'm just saying this. I would do it myself. Yeah. They might be handling a little bit, and the croc as it grows, might just whatever. Okay. But
that's cool. What I
would do. And then, do they offer, as far as you know, would they offer food native to where they're from?
Or? Probably not. Probably just crocs out for the most part.
Oh, okay.
And then from there, they'll go for anything.
Okay.
I mean, they have those sensors throughout their body, especially crocodiles, throughout their bodies, that they're just reactive. They'll bite whatever moves in the area.
Yeah,
so
okay,
don't know,
because. That's something that I did always wonder, like, do animals get used to a certain food and stuff like that? And, like, there's some turtles that I've had that, like, obviously I only feed pellets, but if I throw, like, some guppies in there, only some of them will eat the guppies. The other ones are just like, I like pellets.
Mm-hmm. To an extent, there is some of that, especially in captivity, but if you have them as babies and release them as babies, they're still learning.
Got you.
That's a good thing about it. They're learning. They'll bite something. I like this. I don't like that. I like a snail. I like this little fish. That animal, like, that instinct will always be there for crocodilians. Now, mammals, it's whole different story.
Yeah,
but
crocodilians,
they mostly keep that instinct of, like,
that's cool.
Whether they're ambush predators, whether they're like, they run after their prey, like Cuban crocodiles galloping. Sometimes it's just a pellet, and you can see a Cuban crocodile galloping and hiding and galloping and hiding. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just that's a pellet, cool. But the behavior is still there.
That's cool.
That is cool. All right, so you were saying the process is the animal's less than four feet.
At least if it was to be in Florida, that's how we would do it.
Uh-huh.
Because of the laws. I don't know how South America works, but
that's
like just how it usually goes.
Cool.
Probably also to ensure like more survival. So like a larger croc is going to not be predated on as often as the smaller ones.
Yeah.
So like 4 feet. Same thing with the Burmese pythons. Why they're such a problem. Like, yes, they have massive egg amounts, which is like a lot of, there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, past the first year, a Burmese python doesn't have many predators. You know, so like when they're still babies, raccoons will pick them off, birds will pick them off, anything. Like,
after a Cuban tree frog
will pick them off. Yeah. But like after that first year, that's when
you
it's crucial.
You say a Cuban tree frog?
Probably.
What the fuck?
Cubans out here eating people.
Yeah.
Eating your unattended children.
No.
But yeah, I think that Crockfest, because of that, it's very good.
Because I wish more people were like that with other animals.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Yeah.
Where they care. That's like we talked on one of the podcasts. Like that's what I want people to do. I want people to care about the ones in captivity, but fucked. They're in the wild too, and I would like to help that too. And Croc Fest is a perfect example of that. And more people are joining it.
Panda Fest.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then Texas started doing Croc Fest of their own out there too. That's so nice. Other people are catching up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Other people are catching up, and the people that started Croc Fest, to my understanding, some of them, I know a couple of names started, like one of them actually worked at Gatorland years ago, another one worked one works at Zoo Tampa, and like these people come from different zoos and then they just come together to do this.
That's nice. To do a good thing.
Yeah, to do a good thing. Like yes, we work with alligators and crocodiles, and yes, we I don't like it, but to each their own. But some people do wrestle them, and some people do use them for shows, and some people do these things in captivity. But fuck, we're helping the wild too.
Yeah,
I'm with that. Yeah. Like, let's go.
Yeah,
like oh, there's a it's an animal that everybody is terrified of. They're providing education on these animals and all these things. It's like that's what I would like the pet trade to be, which is what I was saying last time. Like this, even though it's $30 to get in there, bro. But my $30 went to something I agree that I like. It was,
It's nice. What was the what was present like the auction? What were they giving away?
I wasn't there. You were there.
Let's go. So anything and everything.
Cocaine.
Yeah. I know that
No, damn.
I know that they do a live and a silent auction, but this year they didn't do the silent auction, they did it live, and so there were a lot of like ZooMed products. I saw Eric from ZooMed and they had like
It was ZooMed products. Skip that.
There was a fucking paludarium, dog.
Big old fuck.
That's nice. That's nice.
There was Bones and Scoots. What was it? Scoot? Oh, from Sarcosuchus.
From
a Sarcosuchus.
That's cool.
Fire.
Fuck yeah.
Chris Gillette had one of the pictures he just took in South America of a wild dwarf caiman. Fire. Okay. People that draw with like pencil and color pencil, but the detail, it looks like a picture. Tons of that.
Nice.
Actual animals. They had like wild caught veils. They had Mexican spiny tailed iguana, pectinata. They had those.
Like the animal.
Yeah, the animal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
The animal. When they did it out wild Florida, they did crocodiles.
Wow.
So you never know. Like, it's anything crazy. In it. They sold coffee. They sold, like, sometimes they bring a box. And it has the eggs, of course, there's nothing inside the eggs, but the eggs or the egg shell of every crocodilian species.
Oh,
so they sell those. They do like just cool shit like that. Skulls. They had the largest. Oh, this is crazy. Okay, so they had the largest spectacle caiman skull ever found in Florida from an invasive species group found in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have the skull of Gavialosuchus. Is it Gavialosuchus? Yeah, I think it's Gavialosuchus. It's a gharial that lived in Florida.
Oh yeah, you're saying, you're talking about those. Yeah,
yes, bro. And they had the skull of it, like at one of them. Cool. So they do things like that.
Do the auctions usually go really high?
So
like sometimes they get stupid. Okay,
So I'm not mentioning any names, just because. And there's some people that you know, whatever. There was a T-shirt.
Uh oh.
I want to cry right now. That sold for like $5,000.
Dang.
Jesus. What was on the shirt?
Calvin Klein?
Just to be funny.
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. That's usually
just to be funny.
Yeah.
One, just to be funny is one. Yeah. Two, I don't remember. I don't want to say this without knowing, but it might or might have not been the one that had Fred on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bro, Fred just to talk about that real quick, it's not like I fucking knew the guy, but I still feel that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching, Kenan did his video today, it released today. Eric was watching it, I watched it, and I'm just like, dude, like I don't even know this guy, and this fucking hurts. And every time that I would see it on Facebook, on Instagram, it hurt. And I'm like, dude, like
his granddaughter was there and they gave a speech.
Oh, wow.
She broke and you felt it. I got goosebumps right now. You felt it, bro.
Yeah, that's that is
especially with us
situation.
Being so young going into this hobby for the like the first times, like within like years, you know, like within 5 years all of us I think have been
probably
into reptiles. So it's like, you know, that's kind of wild that like one of the pillars, one of the foundational stones, you know, is gone now. It's like wow.
It's that's a fucking shitty situation. That was like, I remember like there was a time where I didn't watch Kenan's videos for a while. I was watching a lot more like Marvel stuff, but every single time that Fred was in a video, I was like, I gotta watch that shit.
Yeah, he hasn't watched it.
But yeah. Rest in peace, Fred.
Yeah, rest in peace. But yeah, like the money wise, they sometimes, like this one, they weren't as much. There's sometimes where people don't like each other, so they on purpose compete over dumb shit. And bro,
like, it's going towards a good, good place. It's, so it's like,
it's like they're doing it out of like who had the biggest balls, but at the same time, at the same time, it's like it's for conservation, bro. Like, I'm just gonna be funny at this point. And they go like, there's people that have real money in that bitch. Barchick was going ham, actually.
Did he win anything?
Yeah, a couple things. That motherfucker was going ham.
Fuck yeah, good for him.
Yeah, he was going ham.
That's nice. I like that, though. I like a little camaraderie.
We do it on purpose, too. Like, when Chris Gillette went in, he's trying to sell his picture, and then my boss just goes, "Take your shirt off!" I'm like, "Take your shirt off!" And then people were saying, like,
$10, take off your shirt.
Everybody in the crowd's like, "Take your shirt off! Take your shirt off!" And then we were telling him, like, "You take your shirt off, you can sell it, and we'll buy it."
Yeah.
there you go.
Stupid things like that, where it's like, it's stupid. The money's going to conservation. Let's just be funny.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes I think about, like, wanting to do, like, one of those auctions, but I'm like, I don't have money like that, dude. Like, you know, like, what am I gonna be like, $20
at the last?
Somebody's like 25, and I'm like, I'm out.
I think what was the last reptile? Was it the 100th show or the 500th show?
I don't know.
It was like
the Repticon.
Yeah,
I think it was like
the thousandth show. Damn,
I can't even say it.
Well,
was it
the anniversary? So. The first show or something like that. Yeah. It was like 1,000 or something, whatever.
Yeah.
I won an isopod, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll do that." And I won. My friend Eric, he won a turtle.
I thought, because I had come up that weekend. Mm-hmm. I thought that Alex and I had gotten it for you guys, but you actually won those things.
Yeah, we won those things.
How much was a turtle?
I want to say he won it for like 30, 20, 25, 30
bucks. So going right for it, but still.
Something like that, I
got this fucking turtle.
It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
Did they sell jello shots or auction off jello shots?
No.
I feel like that's iconic.
A jello shot?
Yeah.
Maybe that's
everything's free in there, bro. I guess. There's a cooler full of beer. Anybody and everybody could open it and drink.
Damn.
For what? That's another cool thing they do. It's like the beer. Yeah. Like, you want to get drunk? Come here. Get drunk and spend some money.
Look at
some alligators. It's
And food is free too. And like, that's not just theirs. Like, every time, like Wild Florida, Zoo Tampa, everywhere you go, that's how they treat you.
That's nice.
That's something I like too. Like, when you go somewhere like that, and then they treat people so good, and then everything's for a good cause, and of course there's cliques and there's drama, like any human group.
In any industry, yeah.
Like any human group, but everybody's there for the same fucking reason.
And that's like the beautiful thing of it. It's like when you get to like surpass like all the odds, all of your drama, all your fucking bullshit, and you're like, all right, we're here for a good cause, so let's fucking do this. And it's definitely great. I liked it, and something that because, you know, we paid the price. It's not a problem. But I was wondering, because I was like, damn, I need to bring my wife here. Like, she needs to at least go at least once, you know? And I was looking, and it's not expensive to go.
Not at all.
Like, $17, dude.
It's $15 with your
Florida discount, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, dude, like, I mean, it's one of those things that if you come here to, like, Central Florida, if you're going to go to the parks, if you're going to go to fucking Orlando, Universal, bro, spend $17, $15, whatever, go to fucking Gatorland.
Favorite part about Gatorland is that when you think about Florida, people think beaches, people think Mickey Mouse, people think Miami. No. I'm telling you, if you go to Florida, the most Florida place that ever exists is Gatorland.
Yeah.
That is so Florida. It's crazy. Yeah.
So the next one that I want to go to, I want to go to where you work. I want to go to Wild Florida.
I want to go to Wild Florida. Yeah. I haven't been there yet.
That's Florida.
Okay, I was Florida.
I'm going to tell you right now.
That scares me.
So I'm going to go there. I worked at Gatorland.
Uh-huh.
The accent is faked. We faked it. Uh-huh. It's to keep the vibe.
Yeah.
Well, like, they have like an accent?
Like the southern accent during the show.
I didn't even realize it.
It's not real.
It's because you're in Florida. It sounds real.
It's because we're entertainers.
Of course.
Right? And we have to keep the vibe of what Gatorland is.
Before you go on, you want to... I'm not gonna hate on that whole thing. The band that I was in, the bigger band that I was in when I used to go on tour, the singer... Our whole shtick was that he was British. He was a fucking British. But everybody thought he was fucking British.
It's just part of the entertainment.
It was part of,
and a lot of them, there are people there with the accent. Like the southern accent. There's people that really do.
Yeah.
Wild Florida, it ain't fake. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm down here. Like, like they think I'm a unicorn. Woo, they literally
the fuck out of me. Yeah,
they call me a mythical creature out there.
Yeah,
oh, man. Like literally, because I shave my arms and like and I brown. Get haircuts. And, yeah, they're just like mythical creature right now. I'm like, y'all motherfuckers. But yeah, it's very Florida as well. It's just I love the people though. Like once you get to meet them, once you get to be around.
But when I go. It has to be a day that you work.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I gotta get you to do cool things. Come on, you can't do just be on my ass. Yes.
If he's in a shop, I'll be like, or if he's in a show, I'll be like, take your shirt off. Take it off.
And I'll do it.
This is the thing, is that we don't tell him we're going to go that day. We just show up and he's going to be like, yo, Tino, Yoshi, what the fuck?
Yeah, no. If y'all go and y'all like, let me know. One of those days that it's not a lot of people. We could go in with Crusher, the big gator.
Yeah, let's go.
You could see a Nile, baby Niles and shit like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's something that like I like. I mean, as we were talking about cliques in Miami, it's very much like that. It's like you have the clique of Ball Python people. You have the clique of like the big shops and all the people that have been here for a long time that they don't want to let anybody into their circle. And then you have just random breeders. Here, it's like there's an actual, like, I would say that there's more of a reptile community here in Central Florida than there is in Miami.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
Just because, I think you think of it that way because the cliques are not as tight. Everybody's on their own here.
You know, when I was in when I was in Gainesville, we were the only shop there, you know? So it's like when you're the only shop there that's been there for at least 10 years, you know, like everyone there is a reptile person.
Yeah.
Everyone in Gainesville is about reptiles because it's right next to the college, right next to the university, and it's the only one for years. Yeah. So it's like, you know people from years and generations, so it's like, well, that's... You know, there's not a lot of cliques. Everybody's kind of, they know like, each other. It's a small town.
The camaraderie that we have here of people that do three different things in the same industry, you don't get that there. Like my friends in Miami that we had a very good relationship with.
Breeders.
Ball python breeders. Then one the Canadian that is arch nemesis.
His name is famous by that.
And that was, like, that's how the community is. But here, like, the fact that, like, you're into your thing, and, like, we're just like, we should do all this stuff together and just do things and just enjoy this whole industry together. It's you don't get that down there.
It also depends who it is, because, of course, that also, like, I see it exists here, too. But, again, like, at my other job at Wild Florida, like, we're all into, one of them is crazy as hell about venomous. The other one doesn't like anything but crocodiles.
Yeah.
The other one is into turtles. And then I'm here liking everything. Like, sometimes I'm with a crocodile, sometimes I'm with a lemur, and, like, but we get together, we roast each other about it, don't get me wrong. But like we still like we work together, and that's our benefit. Our benefit is like, you're good at this, you're good at that, you're good at this, you're good at that.
Exactly.
Go do it.
And
prioritizing strengths.
And absolutely. Like something needs to be built, we call one of the boys, he's one of the best ones building. Yo, build this for us. If you need anything, I'm the newest one there, so I usually back up for everything else. So I take care of like the easy things, the caimans for the most part. I clean the caimans. Y'all want to do something?
Easy things, the caimans.
Like, I'm over here. I'm like, I breed ball pythons.
So yeah, like y'all want to do something over there? I just clean this over here. Y'all go do that. Or like the shows as well. I get most of the shows for being the newbie. Even then, like. Yeah, we all got our things.
But hey,
hell yeah.
It was your first time at my Gatorland. What'd you think?
The park itself, not like breakfast.
The park itself.
Okay, it was definitely cool. I mean, I know that you're like the biggest Gatorland fan. You go there
I loved
once
when I was a
year.
Kid. When I was a kid, I was like, oh gosh, Gatorland.
He goes three times a year. But I mean, it's definitely a place to go that I would take. Like, I know I'm going to go a couple more times, and the same thing that I would want to go to Wild Florida, where it's like, I want to, when family comes to town, I would like to take them to Gatorland.
Yeah.
My wife, I want to take to Gatorland. Especially like a Crocfest. I want to
take
Andre. Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I don't think that I would go frequently with no reason.
No,
like,
right.
It wouldn't, you know, not because of anything, but it was like, I saw what I needed to see, and it was cool.
Yeah.
You know? But also, I guess, kind of desensitized with it because of the industry we're in.
Seeing the magnitude. Like, I think they have one of the gators separated because he's like maybe one of the biggest ones. I forget his name. Do you know his name?
No,
it was one that was a name.
I don't know.
You didn't see it because he ain't there no more.
Okay, well, when I was a kid, he was there, and he was, I mean, larger than life. I was like, that thing is massive. That's a dinosaur right there.
His name is Chester.
Chester
is where, did you see the dwarf crocodile?
Yes.
That's where Chester used to live.
Massive.
Yeah, massive. I don't know where they put him, but yeah, he's in the back.
So larger than life. Cool.
He might be by the Crocs. I don't know. I don't know what they did.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I think it was definitely, I mean, in a sense, kind of what I expected. Mm-hmm. You know, what I didn't expect was to see, like, you know, an enclosure full of, like, baby alligators and a couple albinos and then an albino red-eared slider, yep, and then an adult map turtle. What I didn't expect to see... Yes, I did expect to see Aldabras because I was like, oh, shit, you know, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The Galap. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
There's both. There's one of each.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
There's
one of
each. I think there's more. Yeah, more Aldabras? No, right?
No.
Oh, it's just the one.
It's one Aldab and one
Galap.
So, but what I didn't expect was a big-ass Sulcata.
Yes. Yeah. I loved that guy. Yeah. That was the biggest thing I'd ever seen. I was like, I remember going, like, maybe a couple years ago, and I really was already in here, and I knew what Sulcatas were, and I was like, what is that thing? That thing's massive. And the employee goes, that's a Sulcata. And I was like, Are you shitting my dick?
Are you shitting my dick?
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, so same thing. Berms expected. Rattlesnakes did not expect.
Right. The really? Most,
yeah.
The natives?
Yeah, the owl that was there kind of would expect.
I forgot her name. Yeah, Athena. Yeah.
So I would see that there would be some kind of bird of prey. What I didn't expect was all the fucking parakeets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool. Random as fuck. I was like, what the hell is even this?
Yeah.
That was random. Oh, and then I told you, I don't know if I told you, but so there's like a part where there's like mammals and there's like what's it called? Like livestock?
Yeah.
Like, is it like a petting zoo kind of thing?
Are you talking about the petting zoo itself with the goats?
Yeah.
The so goats, I was, the sheep, the capybaras. Yeah.
So I was passing by it, and this is fucked up, I'm sorry. I was passing by it, and I was I go to Mel, I'm like, oh, that's what they feed all the gators.
No. It's like, oh, another one's gone? All right, throw it out there.
I'm kidding, guys.
I actually have a story from there.
Oh, my God.
Did you get bit or something?
Should I say this shit?
I don't know, man.
I don't go, no, fuck it. Here we go. There was one time when I was working there. And then there was a chicken in the petting zoo.
Uh-huh.
And then we're just laying down and we get a call on the radio. The chicken is in the salt water.
No.
Oh, my God.
We all ran to save this fucking chicken.
This thing.
We saved it? Okay. Yeah. I was like, it was just going dark.
No. We saved it, but it was so fun. We're just laying down on a break.
The chicken is in the salt.
Yeah, go ahead. There's a chicken in the...
just you already knew. It's like, there's a chicken somewhere.
Yeah, damn.
We saved the chicken.
That's nice.
Yeah, we saved the chicken.
But all right, guys. Final remarks.
Gosh, Repticon's cool. Croc Fest is cool. Gatorland's cool. Goat conservation. Save the goats, guys. Goat Fest next year.
Yes.
We'll do it.
Let's not do that. Come on. Repticon was all right.
Yeah.
Send desensitized. So, mm-hmm. But I kind of liked a couple things there. Yeah. Croc Fest, I was like, I mean, the cause of it is fucking amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of
and again, I wish more people did that with other species of animals in general. Yeah. I think it's a good example to follow right there, especially for like I think the pet trade is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because you have like Brian Barczyk and all these people showcasing these places, and it's like, what is this about? Oh, conservation. Then people are gonna want a part of it, and then once you notice, you can.
You know what I found? Crazy. I found cool was the not the accessibility, but the potential that we have as. Now creators, right? Or you've been a creator for a while, you know, it's like that kind of stuff is such a reality where it's like, yeah, you have it was the celebrity jumperoo thing, and it's like, yeah, I mean, but obviously Brian Barczyk, big deal, but then there was like people that they're like, not that they're like the highest caliber, but they just have a little bit of popularity that are within the group, and they get to do those kinds of things, and like, dude, like that's fucking accessible for anybody. It's like makes it really real, which I thought that was real cool. Like I was there with Alex from Imperial. I'm like, hey man, that could be us, you know. 100%. Like it's not like anything crazy, they're just, you know, in the loop,
and that's on the street.
Exactly. You know, so definitely cool. Definitely,
you get to approach those people, like those are regular ass people.
Yep.
Like that's how a lot of people like within the community, I'll be like, oh yeah, I used to hang out with this person, and they're like, oh my god. I'm like, no, it's not like that.
This is a dude,
that's a regular ass motherfucker, and like they'll hit me up, yo, let's go to Gatorland, let's do this, let's do that, and like there you just show up, you could pull up to any of them. They're gonna treat you like family, and then you'll be sitting down. They're doing an auction. Brian Barczyk's on this side, Chris Gillette's on the other side.
Yeah,
and you can sit down next to them and ask questions. They're gonna tell you. They're gonna talk. That's what they love doing.
Yeah. Like it's, now, something that I will say is that we definitely have to do one of these things, but all together. Because, yeah, you know, we didn't get to go with you. You went at the latter half of the day right before we were leaving. Mm-hmm. So we got to do one of these things together. I'm not going to lie to you. The whole time that we were there, I'm like, I kind of wish Tina was here. Yeah. He would like a lot of this stuff. And then, you know, you were doing your thing right around the time that I was leaving. So I didn't really get to hang out with you that much. Yeah. Just say hi and what's up. But we should definitely do something together as a squad. It's
twice a year. So yeah. The next one is already on the plans.
Do you know where it is?
No, they keep that a secret for a minute. Like, yeah. Gatorland didn't come up until like a month before. Mm. Oh, I already knew. Yeah. It's a different species every year, bro.
No, but you know which one it is.
No.
Oh, okay.
It just comes out of American nowhere, alligator. That's the cool thing. Yes. That's the cool thing, bro. Like, okay. it's just sometimes Chinese alligator, sometimes Gary O, sometimes Orinoco. Who knows? There's a new species. Let's put some money there. Yeah. Actually, my first one was saltwater crocodiles in an island where they're eating people more than ever.
Whoa.
And they don't understand. There's one of two options.
Kill them off.
People have been fucking up their food, so now the crocodiles, all they have to, they don't have anything and they're going for people.
Damn.
Or the crocodiles there, they're supposed to be smaller or some shit like that. They're swimming from another country into that island. So it's a whole new predator or a line of predator is more aggressive, or people are too comfortable now.
Yeah,
and they're getting clapped.
Wow. All right, guys, tag yourselves. How can they find you?
I'll go. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mad Bio Reptiles.
Hell yeah.
You can find me at Imperial Reptiles and on Instagram at @constantly_Tino, 2 underscores.
Alrighty. You could find me, Modern Reptile Shop, on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and then Modern Reptile on streaming platforms for podcasts and music and YouTube. Alrighty. This was the Reptiles With Podcast.
And later. You can also find them in Olive. Never
mind. Later, guys.